Good afternoon. Before we start, I just want to say a couple of things. And first one, we have a brother, Emil Nashid, that labors much with putting a magazine called Toward the Mark. And there is a new issue of it. And Andrew, the box is outside the door, or by the door, next to where Peter is. Yes, it's like an auction. And please grab a copy. There are wonderful articles that helped us and will help, like it helped us in the past, with some good, solid articles to help us understand the truth of God. So that's one thing. The second thing, I feel for you. And the reason I feel for you is this afternoon, the way I'm looking at things, you're going to get a double dose of me. And after such a good meal, that's going to be very challenging. So if I saw you sleeping, because we all get tired in the afternoon, and I said, awake thou sleepest, get the message before I call someone's name. So it's a double dose, so what can I say? I did not plan it so. Just let the record show. The other thing is, for a moment when the end of the first in the morning, when Brother McCary was making the announcement of the new regulation, I thought for a quick second I was at Grove City. The green bin for the sheet, the yellow bin for the pillows and whatever it is, I got so confused, I asked my daughter, please take my tray. But it's really wonderful to be together and have a sweet time around God's Word. And the last warning I'm going to give you, that if you misbehaved and you didn't pay attention this afternoon, I'm going to be walking with Bruce Lee. Brother Mark told us about martial art. So if you misbehave, you're going to deal with him. And I'm telling you, it's deadly. So the all-sufficiency of Christ. I don't know how much we learned so far. So if I ask the question, what have you memorized by now? Or I don't want to say memorized, but what comes to your mind? Like the first one was, just without looking at your sheet, what was the theme of the first study? Savior. That's good. Some are listening. What was the second one? Shepherd. How about the younger ones? But what was the third? Something you hate to go to school because of teachers. Okay. Teacher. This afternoon, Lord willing, we want to discuss the Lord Jesus as head. We want to understand what headship means. But I really want to come into the practical aspect of it as head over the body and what's our function as a body in the present moment. Because for me, just to understand the doctrine of it and not put it to practice, it's not going to help us much. We want to understand what headship mean, and we want to understand how the head over his body and how we are members in that body, so that in a practical way, we can live it out as Christians and enjoy what God's thoughts concerning that theme of Christ being the head and you and I being the body. And for this, I'm going to turn to two of the scriptures that we have over here, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and by the help of the Lord, we'll see what we can glean together from these verses that we have. And verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the first place or the preeminence in all things. The second chapter, and we will start reading from just verse 16 will help a little bit. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days,
which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. There are verses that are recorded for us that we can later on perhaps get into them in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. But I just want to start with that thought of these two verses for us, by the help of the Lord, to understand what does the head do. As the brother reminded us that in every office, and I would hope that you will see the result, when the Lord Jesus acts as a Savior, He brings us into something greater. For example, that He saved us because we were sinners, and He is the captain of salvation, the Bible said, and He's bringing what? Many sons to glory. Now think of that for a moment. From sinner to son. That's quite a position. From sinner to son. That term belongs to all the saints of God. But just I want you to magnify the grace of God. That from sinner to son. The shepherd brings me from a lamb to a sheep. And when you think of sheep, you know what? So many times people would think of that sheep that normally, you know, there is the somehow the dumbness in it where just goes, eats, comes back. But that's not really the mind of the Lord. I always say that if you want to learn how to be a good Levite, you have to learn it from a donkey. When God has given us animals in the Bible, He has given it to us to learn something from them. And the reason I say that if you want to be a good Levite, you know what the Levites did in the Old Testament? They carried the testimony. Nobody could carry them but the sons of Levi, the Levites. And if you want to be a good Levite, you have to learn it from a good donkey. The Lord Jesus says, you go and you loose an ass colt that is tied and tell the master or whoever will ask you, the Lord has need of it. And what did this donkey did? He carried the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to learn how to carry the Lord and not let the influence of man be upon you, because that donkey in particular, the Bible says that no man rode it before. There was nothing of man that was upon this donkey. There was no influence upon this creature other than the Lord Himself. So if you want to learn how to be a good Levite, you learn it from a donkey. So when we talk about a shepherd and a sheep, if you want to learn how to be a good priest, why do I say a priest? In 1 Peter chapter 2, it is said that we enter in, how do I enter into the presence of God? As a holy priest, and I come out as what? As what? I come out, as far as 1 Peter chapter 2, as a royal priest. So I go in, and I come out. That's what we do right now. The day is coming where we're going to stay in. But now we go in, and we come out. What did he say in chapter 10, John 10 and verse 9? If any man shall come to me, he shall be, enter in, he shall be saved. What did he say then? He shall go in and out and find what? Find pastures. So if you want to learn to be a good priest, you learn it from a sheep. So that's a wonderful subject of a shepherd. But then we learned about discipleship, or the teacher that is in the business of attracting disciples to learn from him and to follow him. You know what's the ultimate purpose of discipleship? The ultimate purpose. The Lord said it in the Gospel of Matthew. He said it is sufficient. The all sufficiency. What is the sufficient? Where would I be, the sufficiency? It is sufficient for the disciple to be like his master, or the word teacher that we have heard earlier. It is sufficient. So what does teaching bring me to? Conformity to the Lord Jesus. That if I want to be like Christ, I have to learn Christ. And if you don't read the scripture, and if you don't listen to a good word, and if you don't have this line of communication with the Lord, then there's not going to be conformity to Christ as I'm living here on earth. You know, no wonder that the disciples, they were acknowledged that they have been with the Lord Jesus. They spoke like Him, you know. You know that they spoke like Him? They start acting like Him. It wasn't themselves who went about saying, we are Christians, we are Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. You know who called them Christians? People in Antioch, when they observed them, how they are living, they were called Christians first in Antioch. People observed that there's conformity. Have you ever considered the first martyr in the scripture, Stephen, that he almost, when he was at the last closing moments of his life, he starts speaking like the Lord Jesus. Why is it? He saw Him standing at the right hand of God in heaven. But the way the Lord have uttered on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, when he was departing from the scene, he says, when he was praying, Lord, lay not this against them. Almost the same words. So if there's going to be conformity, if I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus, I have to learn from Him. And the way that you and I are going to learn from Him, as we have heard, is not going to be these settings where, like the disciples had with Him. It's going to be with Him in light of the Word of God. It's going to be with Him in light where there's going to be a line of communication in prayer. But now we come to something that so many times it's misunderstood. It is misunderstood in the sense of people don't understand what headship is all about. I just want to confirm the time. What headship is all about? The word head, now I want you to follow because I'm going to bring the teaching first. And then I want to discuss a little bit of how do we function as a body. The word head is not, again, it's not a New Testament truth. Because even from the beginning of creation, there was thoughts of headship. And where do we read that in a clear way? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When the Apostle Paul was explaining the head covering, and that's a wonderful subject by itself, he brings the creatorial headship of the Lord Jesus. He says, the head of every man who is Christ. So the thought of headship, it wasn't foreign in the Old Testament. In fact, in the New Testament, we have quotation of the same word, it's the same word used in the Greek, that He is the head of the cornerstone. He is the headstone, the chief stone. That's the same word. So what does headship is all about? I like to start from the second chapter to understand what headship is all about. He says in chapter 2 of Colossians, I'm going to just read a certain words. The word in verse 19, nourishment, nourishment. The word headship, when you talk about head, we are very familiar in a physical thing that without the head, there is no direction. There is no direction. Without the head, there is no nourishment. Without the head, there is no influence. You know, the head is everything for us as human being. If you never seen this except whoever watched horror movies that people walking without heads. It's attachment. It is something that is joined together, but the most important part of the whole human being is the head. Because the head makes you or breaks you. Right? The head makes you function right or it doesn't make you function right. It is all in the head. So in a spiritual way, I want you to think, headship is in relationship of us collectively, that the head, which is the Lord Jesus, and we're going to come the first time that truth appeared as far as the body. So the headship of the Lord Jesus should provide us nourishment for the body. The head being the Lord Jesus, He should influence us. We should not be influenced by strange foreign things, things that are opposing to the mind of God. And the head gives direction how my hand should function. You know, if I want to grab that water, I want to open it, I want to drink it. because I needed some water. But the reality of the direction and the instruction that is given is all through my head. It is not like my hand is acting independently from the instructions that is flowing from my head for me to grab it and drink it. It is the head that is providing me with the instruction, with the direction, with the influence that I need some water, pick up a bottle and drink it. The head is everything. And unless I come to the truth that Christ is everything, why is it that I have to start from there before I come to the thought of the body? The head, you read head in the Old Testament, head of certain things. You read it in the New Testament because he's not only the head of the body, he is the head of principalities and powers. That's what the Bible said. But you know what? The body, we're going to come to it because that was something totally new. Totally new. But the influence, the direction, the nourishment, we all obtain it from where? From the head. That's why it's very important that when you start with the doctrine of headship, understand what is the purpose of God is quoting for us Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. He says in verse 18 that he is the head of the body, which is talking about us. We're going to come to the truth of the body. But God's intention, listen to this. Now I want to throw some practical aspect. For me to appreciate the head, to appreciate the nourishment, to appreciate the direction, to appreciate the influence that Christ will bring from himself unto us, is that in all things he might have the preeminence. In all things. Listen, young people, it's very practical. Christianity is very practical. People will say, well, we need something practical. We need something practical. Well, listen, I hate to break it to you. If you don't understand the doctrine, there is nothing to put into practice. You have to understand the doctrine. So the doctrine is important, and to put it into practice is important. But you have to understand the doctrine. So God's intention that he made him head in a new way now, because we're talking about here the body, and brother spoke last night, I don't want to repeat anything, first begotten from amongst the dead, but that in all things he might have the preeminence. And that word all things, God means all things. Not some part of things. We like to just stick with the scripture. In fact, there are seven times or seven things that Christ is the first begotten or the first. It is the same word as the preeminent one. There are seven things that Christ was the first begotten, the preeminent one. But what is it for me as a Christian to say, well, if I want to understand his headship, if I want to be under his influence, under his direction, under his nourishment, I better start with the principle that he has to be first in my life. Because the body, the physical body, unless the body understands that the head is number one, is the rank number one, it's the most important thing, then there is nothing of that body to accept the influence. And I'm going to challenge the young people, not only myself, I still consider myself a little young sometimes. But the reality of it is the challenging thing is he first in your life? Or do we talk much about it? You know, I'm telling you, sometimes it's I tremble when I sing some songs. I tremble. Because we sing them just for the sake, the hymn is nice, the tune is nice. You know, have you ever sang, I surrender all? You surrender all. Ooh. But did we truly surrender all, or we're just singing words? You know what? One of these hymns that young people like to sing, that you are my silver and you are my gold. Ooh. Man, these are real words, real commitment. But the challenge I want to raise to you is it doesn't matter what age you are in, you will understand it. Who is first in your life? Who is first in your life? You still remember, if I want to give you an example about preeminence, I have to bring the prophet Elijah into it. When Elijah went to the widow of Zarephath, you know what? And God sent him there after the brook dried. You remember that, right? But when he went there, he said, listen, what are you doing? He said, then, dear prophet, you know, I have two sticks and I'm going to make a morsel and my son and I to eat it and then what? Die. That was the best thing. You know what Elijah told her? being a representation of Christ, being a representation of Christ. Said, listen, you go and you make me a cake first for me. And then you will see what happens. You read the story. She never ran out of anything. Why is it? You make me a cake first. And sometimes young people are struggling. Why this and why that? And why is this not working with me? And I, you know, and we occupy with ourselves so much. Self becomes the center that I lose sight that there's, God has intended that there's one that should be the first and the last. One that is the preeminent. And in case I come to the understanding of the truth that Christ should be first in my life, the head should be the most important thing in my whole body, then I will never understand the influence, the nourishment, and the direction that flows from the head. So the first challenge is we have to come to the conclusion that Christ is number one. So when you go to school, is he number one to you? Is he the first one? Is he the most important one when you go to school? When you go to work, my dear brother, my dear sister, do people acknowledge that Christ is number one? I am not going to go along with certain things. Why? Because I belong to Christ. It will dishonor Christ. Or we're living under the peer pressure, we'll go along with everything. He should have the preeminence in all things. Whether work, whether school, whether relationships, whether it doesn't matter. Even young men, young sister, I'm sorry, we're going to go into that trend. But it's important for me to understand headship is you have to put him first. When you build a relationship, a young man is interested in his sister. What is the common bond? What do you want to see? What do you want to see in that brother? He's handsome. Well, it would be nice to be handsome. But that's not the most important thing. That's important. You know what? You need to be attracted. But is Christ the preeminent in his life? You're looking for a young sister. Is Christ the preeminent in her life? Or is the things of the world is occupying them? So for me to understand the truth of headship, I have to start that I have to give him the first place. The second person, I want to give you a little practical thing for you to see it in the Bible, and then we can bring the body aspect. That if you ask me about preeminence, I told you I'll bring Elijah's example. But if you want to understand headship, how things flow, how things influence, how things direct things without the commandment, that's the beauty of the head. The head is not giving the commandment. You see, sometimes we mix headship and lordship together. Lordship is one that would say, well, our Lord is not that way, but lordship overall, do this and you do it. You submit to my rights. That's lordship. But headship is not a matter of I give you a commandment. After all, this head and body is a relationship of husband and wife. Now, your wife is not going to like it when you tell, woman, go get me this. You think she's going to like that? You'll be sleeping in the basement. That's if you're sleeping inside the house. But the reality, the head does not function this way. The head does not give, you do this or else. Sometimes we men think this way, you know. You know what struck me? It amazes me. God gives us example to learn from them, but also a little funny. You know, Hannah is not having children. Here comes Elkanah, her husband. He says, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? Am I not better than 10 sons unto you? I could imagine if I can see that scenery, she'll look at him and tell him, no. But you know what I'm trying to say? Is headship is not about, I am this and I am that and you do this and you do. That's not headship. That's lordship. That's another subject. But the headship is a matter of influence that flows through the body and the body functions based on that influence. You understand? So let me give an example. If I want to bring an example for us to understand headship, I have to bring David into the picture. David was a man that was king. He could say, mighty men, you go and you do things. You know, you never hear David ordering his mighty men one command. When you read the record of the mighty men of David, you never ever hear David telling them, listen, you better go and defend that field of lentil. You better go and defend that field of barley. You better go and kill these two lions and one lion and the Egyptian. You better go and do these things. Never. You never read it. But you know what was happening? They were a picture of the body. We're coming to this. But all what they were doing is they were acting upon the influence of David. You know what David one time he said in 2 Samuel chapter 23? He said, oh, that I may drink a glass of water from where? From where? Bethlehem. That's all what David said. He said that, oh, that I may have a drink of water or a glass of water from Bethlehem. That's all he said. He was desiring something for himself. He wasn't giving a commandment. But you know what the scripture says? That these three mighty men, they went through the garrisons of the Philistines. They went through the Philistines to bring David a glass of water. This is headship. This is headship. When you and I will act, will do something, not because it's a commandment, but because it's the influence of the head upon me, that I want to please the head. I want to respond to the head. That these three mighty men, they did not hear a commandment. David telling them, you better go get me a glass. I don't care if you're going to give up your life. You better go get me a glass. That's how we like to react, right? We like to give commandments. You better do it or else. But the headship is a matter of influence. That the mighty men of David, when they were doing all these marvelous acts, it was based on headship and not lordship or kingship. It was based upon influence that they were fighting for David, they were defending David, and they were willing to go through all the garrisons of the Philistines to refresh the heart of David. So now bring it home to me. The only thing I said I want to bring the doctrine. This is the doctrine of it. The head gives me the influence, gives me nourishment, gives me direction. But you know that the thought of the body is never in the Old Testament? There is a wife. We know about wife. The Lord says, and I will be a husband unto you, right? So we're acquainted with that thought of husband and wife. We're acquainted with thoughts of salvation that were speaking of the Savior. We're acquainted with the thoughts of the shepherd, because there were many great shepherds in the Old Testament. We're acquainted with the thought of teachers, because they were, as it were, at that time, the sons of the prophet. They were those that were teaching. In fact, the Levi, they were supposed to teach, that they might teach my law. They might teach the children the law of the Lord. So they were the thought of teaching. But you know, one thing that is missing in the Old Testament is the thought of the body. That thought of you and I being a body, being connected to a head, is something that is completely new. And thank God for His grace. Not because you deserve it, not because I deserve it. It is an act of sovereign grace that God in His goodness have decided to have a body. The Lord Jesus have decided that I am going to have a body. What does it speak of? A complete, wonderful unity with Christ. That's why that there is no greater company of believers ever that is nearer to Christ than you and me. Because God has brought this wonderful unity, not a unity made of men, but unity that is made of God. From the beginning of creation, and the two shall be what? They shall be one. You know who the first person, who spoke about the body? If I asked the young people, who spoke about the body of Christ? Who was the writer? Was it Peter, John, or Paul? Give me a choice. Paul. You know where Paul learned it? Where do you think Paul learned that lesson of the body? He learned it when he met the Lord for the first time. You understand that? He learned it when he got converted in Acts chapter 9. Saul is going after the Christians, and here comes this light, that when Paul speaks about that light, every time he adds something to it, because it was so remarkable to him. But he said, the Lord said unto him, Saul, Saul, Why art thou persecuted? Why persecutest thou me? You understand the body now? You see the body? The Lord tells Paul, when the Lord was in heaven, he tells Paul, why are you persecuting me? But who was he persecuting? He was persecuting the saints. He was throwing the Christians in jail. He was the one at, when they stoned Stephen, the Bible said that they brought their clothes and they cast it at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. That was Paul. Saul and Paul, the same thing. The only thing is different is one letter. But it was Paul. This is when he learned that there is something that is connected with the head. Because I'm not doing it to you, Lord. I'm doing it to these Christians. Well, listen, let me break it to you. They are my body. They are my body. We are one. And young saints start taking hold of that truth. We live in this world so fearful of the circumstances. We become so much occupied with the circumstance of what's taking place. Start getting into the truth that I and Christ, or we and Christ, are one, unbreakable. Nothing can separate. Have you ever seen a body without a head or a head without a body? It's never going to happen. So when you think about that, just take advantage of the truth that God is bringing home to me, that I am part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is nothing that can harm me. There is nothing that can take this away. Why? Because it's on the line of privilege. You are placed in that body for a reason, and it is that reason is a privilege that has been provided to you by the sovereign grace of God, period. Not because you are wonderful, or not because you are kind, and not because you are a better person than the person sitting next to you. God forbid. It is all because of grace and love. So that's how God accomplished headship. He brought something unique. You and I, and Paul had to learn it, that you mess with the Christians, you're messing with the head. And you don't want to mess with the head. We can joke and say, don't mess with Brother Mark, he can hurt you. But in reality, my dear friend, if you are without the Lord Jesus, don't mess with the grace of God. Take advantage of it. Don't play with fire. You're playing with fire. You come here and you sit under the sound of the word of God and you listen to the gospel, you listen about the love of God, you listen about the grace of God, you listen about the mercy of God, that God who is rich in mercy, you listen about all these wonderful truths that God desires to draw you to himself, and then you say, not for me, not today. Maybe when I finish talking to my friend in the back, maybe when we start chit-chatting. Chit-chatting is more important than the word of God, you know. We don't get it. Up to now, we still don't get it. All these things have a better place than the Lord himself. And unless I come to the conclusion that God is giving me a chance after chance, you are messing. You are messing up big time. Sometimes I feel I'm going to stop talking until some people stop talking. I'm going to do that. I'm going to stop talking until some people stop talking. So when I see the saints stop talking, then I will talk. Is that okay? Can we do that? Is it okay? So I'm going to stop talking when I see you guys talking. And when you stop talking, I'll talk. So now they stop talking. So now I can talk. So this is the importance of the truth of headship. That headship, you see, again, let me remind you. Sitting in the back and sitting in the front, you see everything. So when I'm sitting here, that's the only occasion I'm taller than you. The only occasion. The only time I'm taller than you. So I see everything. And when I see something, I'm going to say something. We have this in New York City, right? You see something, you say something. And when I see something, I'm going to say something. So this is the important truth. So how does the body supposed to function? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The body is a wonderful thing. But one thing I want to impress upon the saints of God, that when we learn the truth of the body, that body has been formed. It is being formed by the Spirit of God. It is not me. It's a line of privilege. You remember? We said it's a line of privilege. We're going to come to the line of responsibility the next session. But now it is a line of privilege. With the privilege comes what? Responsibility. So if I know I'm a member of that body, this is why I want to talk a little bit for the next 5 minutes to encourage the young, that 1 Corinthians 12 tells me how we communicate, how we react with one another as being a part of the body of Christ. One of the things I learned, listen, brethren, let's get serious a little bit and take it to heart right now. So listen very carefully. One thing that I learned when I read about the functioning of the body is that the hand cannot tell to the foot, I have no need of it. The eye cannot tell to another member in the body, I have no need of you. Because if we are claiming the head is the one that provides the nourishment, the head is the one that provides direction, the head is the one that provides influence, the influence of the head will never cause me to come to a saint of God and say, listen, I have no need of you. Members of the body of Christ will never look down at the saints of God. Never ever let it cross your mind you are better than your brother or sister. There was an argument about with the disciples of who amongst them shall be what? Shall be the greatest. He said, the Lord Jesus told them, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's an argument? Somebody is saying probably in their own mind, well, I must be the good arm, the good hand, the right hand of the Lord. That's most important. He says, and whosoever shall be a great amongst you, let him be servant. We don't compete. Members of the same body, they don't compete. You know what we do? We complement one another. So I don't want you to grow in local assemblies and say, I want to be, you know what, this brother got up and spoke, I'm going to get up next Sunday. You know, we start acting, being part of this body, members one to another, we start competing. Dear saints, dear young ones, from now learn it. We do not compete as members in the body. What happens with the body is we complement one another. The hand will complement the other hand. And we, have you ever seen one person like, you know, wants to hurt the other hand in the right hand, having the right hand would never happen because the head will give the right influence. So the first thing I want to exhort you, never look down. Never esteem you're better. That's what 1 Corinthians 12 will teach you. Don't think that you are being part of the body is greater than other parts of the body. God forbid. The second thing that I want to tell you about that body with the head. You remember the Lord Jesus when he walked here in this scene? He went to a wedding. Did he go to a wedding? He went to a wedding. You want scripture? The Gospel of John, chapter 2. He went to a wedding. But I want to try to make a point why I'm saying this. But the Lord Jesus also went to a funeral. And the Lord Jesus wept. Sometimes we say that he wept over the grave of Lazarus. That's not true. You read it carefully, you'll learn that's not true. The Lord wept when he saw Mary and the Jews weeping. He wept. Because he saw them that they were sorrowing over who? Over Lazarus. You know what it tells us in 1 Corinthians 12? That truth of the body. That's part of the truth of the body. Because the body, the head will influence me to enter into the affairs of the other members in the body. So that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffers, the whole, what? The whole, how about just the fingers? No, no, no. The whole body suffers with it. And if one member was honored, the whole body rejoiceth with it. We have to enter into this. We're becoming like, you know what, maybe it's not our fault. No, it is our fault. What I'm saying here. The problem is we're allowing the world to mold us into its own image. The world, listen, the world heart, The people of this world, their heart is like a stone. All what they think is about themselves. They don't enter into the affairs of others, into the circumstances of others. They don't enter into it. They don't have the compassion. The Lord Jesus wept when he saw the woman burying her own son, it says, and the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. Moving with compassion when he saw such a difficult circumstances upon a widow. The world will teach you it's all about you. Forget it. Forget sorrow. Forget sorrow, sorrowing with the people. And we are becoming like this way. We see a brother just maybe went through some deep waters. We cannot enter with him into it. We cannot. We just, somebody so dear to the heart went to be with the Lord or something, and the next thing we're laughing outside and we're talking. What? I mean, if I'm really a member of the body, I should enter into these circumstances. I should weep with them that are weeping and rejoice with them that are rejoicing, because we are one body. We feel it. And we're living in a time where the world is impressing upon us not to feel anymore. It's all about you. Don't feel about others. Don't feel about other members in the body. This is not Christianity. Christianity is, if one member suffers, the whole body suffers with it. If a brother or sister going through difficulty, believe it or not, we all go through it. Because that's the truth of headship. The influence will flow down that will allow me and will encourage me and will force me to go into the circumstances of other members in the body. Let's not be molded to be into the image of this world. Let's not be conformed into the image of this world. Trust me. Listen, if you don't see it, there is something wrong. If you don't see that technology in our days, it's all about you, then you are missing the point. We can use it for internet and I can use it to call my wife. And I will get in trouble when I don't call her in time. But have you ever thought, I always say it, and I want the young people here in this area to get it. Have you ever thought, this company Apple, why everything is called I? Every product, most of their products they provide, it is under the heading of what? I. They came up with a new one. Selfie. Selfie. I mean, think about... Okay. That's reality, brother. I'm going to close, but that's reality. That's the world. It's I, selfie. You've seen young people. I mean, I'm telling you, one time when this first thing was introduced to me, selfie, we finished from the I. We didn't finish from the I. The I is still there. iPod, iPhone, iPad, you know, you name it. Ice cream. So you name it. All these things are there. But the latest one is selfie. I mean, I'm not going to call a name, but one of my relatives, which I love dearly, she came to visit us, and the first thing that I see is a stick that long. I said, what's that stick? To discipline somebody? Turn around? And all of a sudden, they sit on the couch, and she brings that, and it goes up, and the phone was there. I said, what is this? We're taking a selfie. But dear saints, if we don't think the seriousness of it, that that's what the world is trying to mold us into, we're missing the point. The product of this world is centered about you. And the truth of headship is centered around the saints of God. It is toward the saints of God. It's toward one another. Of course, it's most important is the preeminence of the head, right? That's the most important. But when the head will throw his influence and his direction and his nourishment, we will start understanding that the truth of the headship is really for us to maneuver, to complement one another, to help one another, to embrace one another. And that's the truth of the body of the Lord Jesus and him being a head. May it be so, for his name's sake.